I'm a part-time rock star, but I go to work.
What's up? Welcome to the Part-Time Rockstar Podcast, episode 259. I'm your host, Brett Bueller. Today we have on Man Must Explore from Albany, New York. They are an alt-rock band who have been releasing music since 2021. They happen to be in town this week, this Thursday, at the Undercroft in Baltimore, and we will be joining them on the bill as well. So I wanted to get them on the show to kind of talk about that, as well as their music in general. It was definitely a fun conversation. We covered all the usual working musician topics, as well as a few other random things, such as our mutual ideas on songwriting, our theories behind Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd, and the importance of art in the modern age. I featured their new tracks, RX and Tsunami. If you like either of them, you can definitely go find them on all the streaming platforms and find them on all the social media as well. Regardless, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting local music. Hopefully you yourself are doing all right and kicking ass out there. And personal news and notes, I don't have much to mention outside of promoting Thursday's show. But I believe Wednesday I will be at Jimmy's playing acoustic. Other than that, definitely follow the podcast online if you want to help us out. And the third annual Part-Time Rockstar Fest is coming up June 8th. That'll be at Fishhead Cantina in Baltimore, Maryland. I still need to drop the lineup for that. And then Part-Time Rockstar Productions is going. If you're looking for any video content around the DMV, we can hook it up. And the sponsor of the show is Truly Strings Guitar Shop, based out of Laurel, Maryland, where I take all my guitars. Without any further ado, we'll get to the conversation with Man Must Explore. Start. I'm not gonna edit a ton unless you tell me that you said something too untoward afterward, in which case I can add a little bleep or something. But
yeah,
it's that's pretty rare for the most part. So
we're not just shit talking this entire podcast, is what you're saying? That was my plan.
This is a good place to do it. and I always say, if you don't have a band member in the chat right now, then they're helpless. So this is the perfect time to attack.
Yeah.
They can't defend themselves. But
yeah, we got two that are very vulnerable. And we actually did the last podcast together by ourselves too. So we just keep doing this. We just never can give them any air time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, related to the podcast, related to the podcast. That's
all. Yeah. That's cool. Well, my name is Brett, if I didn't mention that before. And I'm from just south of Baltimore, basically.
Yeah, this is going to be our first time going to Baltimore. For anybody listening, the reason we actually know each other now is because we're on tour. Yeah. And we're coming to Baltimore. We're actually coming to actual Baltimore once to play the Undercroft, like, this coming week.
Hell yeah.
And then we're going past Baltimore to, Montgomery County?
Yeah.
To do the garage in May.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast about that guy, Levi. He was awesome.
Yeah, he's a super cool cat, as it were. And he's just kind of, you know, doing the DIY thing like a lot of us do, but he's doing it well. And a lot of people are interested, and it seems like the shows are popping off. So, yeah, I'm actually excited to play there this summer as well.
Oh, that's cool. You're going there with the Hollow Truths?
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, we are on the Undercroft bill with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. We're together on it. That's like, gonna be awesome.
Okay, cool. Cause that'll also be my first time over there. Not sure what's going on.
Yeah, it should be really cool. It seems like a really cool space. They do a lot of hardcore stuff there. I know it's like pretty like famous in that scene, but I was like, you guys also just do like indie bills, alt bills, like hard rock bills, and yeah. they were like, yeah, totally. So I reached out to bands that were like similar and like jive with us, like the Hollow Truths. Cool. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. So yeah, I'm nice. Super pumped for that show.
Nice. And did you come across me or us through another band, or was it kind of haphazardly on Instagram?
How the hell did I find you? I find a lot of people haphazardly on Instagram. I mean, for this whole tour, yeah. I've probably talked to like a few hundred bands and like met so many people. I don't know how I find any of them.
That's true.
I bet I found you. Well, I'll tell you, I knew about this podcast before I knew what the Hollow Truths was, and then found this all after. I was like, that looks like a cool podcast to do.
Oh, cool.
I wonder where it's based. And then I was like, oh, it's based way down south. And that was forever ago.
Yeah.
And then you hit me up and you were like, let's do a podcast. And I was like, oh, a podcast is, oh, shit, that's the one I wanted to do. Because I think it's a cool concept. Part-time rock star. I feel like that all the time. Man.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of us probably do until you maybe hit the big time or the full time. But I think that 99, 98% of us are in the part-time category from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
So...
what inspired you to make it? Like the idea behind this podcast? What'd you title it that? Why was it like, what made you want to make this podcast?
I think like every middle-aged white dude, it occurred to me that it would be fun. But then I didn't really know what I wanted to talk about. Obviously, I played music. And then one day we were sitting on the beach and I just wrote a song kind of jokingly for the band, like just called Part-Time Rockstar. We're just out there.
Yeah, I'm a part-time rock star.
I ended up recording it. It kind of annoyed me, but the guys in the band kind of liked it, and I was like, all right. And then after we recorded it, I was like, you know, if I were to start a podcast, that would be a good title. I just kind of ran with it from there.
Yeah, I like it. Now you got a theme song.
And yes, I accidentally wrote a theme song for it. So
yeah. I was more asking because I'm curious about like, because what the name of the podcast is, what the song's about, and actually, my ambition, they're all about a pretty similar thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're about like, trying to like express yourself in a society that doesn't really reward like artistic expression, which is kind of agony, and it's my entire existence.
I like to think of it as the struggle of the proletariat, as it were.
Yeah. Now we got to overthrow somebody, right? For that to be right, I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to champion everybody else in the struggle. You know what I mean? I was like, obviously, I'm not the only one, so I shouldn't really have any shortage of guests or people to talk to about it. And everyone's got a different flavor of not only their art, but then their occupation too, and the kind of the balance in between.
Man, that's kind of like. Kind of has a lot to do with what our band's trying to do. Like we're called Man Must Explore, right? Like I think the reason I titled it that years ago when I started the band, even before Thomas joined the band, it's actually an astronaut quote. David Scott said there's a fundamental truth to human nature that man must explore when he was on the moon. And I was like, man, I feel like that. Like, I feel like it's very easy to just settle into some stupid job somewhere and you work your whole life and you pay your bills and then you have a kid that can do the same damn thing. Nobody ever makes anything. But it is a fundamental truth that, like, people have to go do things. People have to explore their, like, ambitions. So, I vibe with, like, the thing you're trying to do.
Thanks.
Really get it.
And, yeah, I always tell people, too, obviously, the work subject is more like if you want to. I feel like it is obviously centered on the art, hopefully, most conversations. But, I mean, if you're like me, then a lot of my music comes directly out of just the struggle and the interplay between. But I should say, too, that I'm a little fortunate in that I've gotten to pursue even jobs that maybe I ended up not doing, or just getting burned out on or whatever. I always try to feed the soul first, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like that's the intention in starting out.
And exactly.
And I felt like, although I've gotten to do that with jobs at times, you know, there's also the music, and that's its own kind of fulfillment. And it's hard to have only one, I've found.
You shouldn't have just one,
Yeah, I think a lot of the music, that people in the scene we're in make is like a pretty much direct result of working those stupid jobs. Because you know, it's kind of a trope, like people get like some of our favorite bands, right? They are working fucked up jobs like us, and yep. their music is amazing. It's really expressive. It's full of like pain and stuff to say. And they kind of start to make money, and then it feels like they sell out. Sometimes I think they just don't have anything good to say anymore. It's like the antithesis. Yeah. Like comfort's the antithesis of really good art.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Could definitely dive into that.
I've heard that. But I definitely think it.
I mean, that's what our song Tsunami is about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like our most popular song. I wrote that at work because I got some really bad data.
Dude.
I'm a researcher, and I got some like really screwed up stuff. Found out I lost like a year of my life basically.
Yeah.
Just working on this stupid project. And I was like, man, this sucks. And I wrote that song in my lab notebook.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pink Floyd kind of hit it on the nail many moons ago about with that quiet desperation is the English way lyric.
Yeah. So,
except it's more culturally abroad now than just the English, I guess.
Yeah, it's on time.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, and it was like...
Like, in a nutshell, that's how I describe a lot of people's situation. Artistically, but just generally, probably.
Well, maybe that's our responsibility. Like, as artists, right? Like, somebody's got to, like, say that kind of thing. I always ask people when I meet them, like, not necessarily... Here, most of my friends are musicians. Probably you feel the same. But people who I just meet out in the world who aren't necessarily musicians, I'm like, oh, what are you into? Like, how do you try to express yourself?
Right.
And anybody who's like doesn't have like a thing identified, it's like, oh, I'm a painter. Mm-hmm. I make, you know, miniatures or whatever thing. Like they're just like they're never that happy. Like I think you really have to express yourself as a person.
Yeah.
Or else you're just gonna resent everything in your life. Or at least I did. I don't know.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Everything's just a little bit hollow, a little bit of a shell. You know,
exactly.
It's just,
is that the band? Is that where the band name comes from?
Maybe coincidentally, I could say that.
Oh, but, you should have been like, absolutely, dude. It was a super weighty, heavy thing I came up with.
I actually took it from my favorite band. They have a song called Thanks Bastards. And I liked all their lyrics, but I think one was like, we despise your hollow truths and honest lies. And I was like,
wow.
Well, Honest Lies is a little too generic, so I'll go with the other one.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. What band is that?
Now defunct, but they're called Mischief Brew from Philadelphia. They're like a folk punk band, kind of big in the anarchist community back in the day.
Okay, yeah, send it to me. That seems cool.
So,
are they like political? Like pretty political as a band?
I would say so, but...
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of like music like that. I didn't used to, but I think as I get older, I'm like more into particularly not just like political music, like anarchist music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is starting to make some sense, man.
There's certainly a Marxist undertone, but I got to meet Eric, who was a singer, a few times, and I just liked the way he could tie all of his views into everyday life. And it wasn't like necessarily, it was poetic. It wasn't like you're getting yelled at. Someone on a pedestal, like or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, it's easy to get on the pedestal. What you want to do is make music that's relatable,
right? So it wasn't always just sheer raw politics or something. It was more just like telling a story about a homeless guy, you know, and then kind of weaving that in a certain way. And I don't know, but it's cool when people can really put things together.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have an appreciation for lyrics. I mean, I wrote all the lyrics for the band up until the time Thomas joined, and now he writes the lyrics too, which is really nice.
Yeah, I love lyrics. I actually usually ask bands to send me them if they can. I may have forgotten today in this case, but
no, whatever.
You know, I was picking up the vibes a little bit, and I did read the bio on the astronaut quote, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I updated that recently for this tour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think here, a major pet peeve of mine, like listening to music of national bands, like if they're local bands, I don't really care because like, hey, maybe that's why you're local, but like national bands who have like go nowhere lyrics.
Yeah.
They're just like, don't say anything in particular, whether it's kind of just phonetically sounded okay. It's like, man, you had a chance to say something. Like you had the chance to like make something resonate with somebody going through a hard time and you just didn't. You're so dumb.
Yeah. Well, there's more than one way to skin the cat, obviously, but
that's true. There's instrumental music, which is powerful.
Yeah, I think.
But yeah, I love good lyrics, man. I love good lyrics.
I was friends with an opera singer for a while, and he gave me some pointers, and like his philosophy, I think, just articulated what I already felt but didn't say before, which was just like, you just want to feel like you went somewhere.
Yeah.
With any story or any music or any book or any whatever, especially songs, I guess. You just kind of want to feel like you went. And you didn't stay in place. Although yeah. there is a place for that sort of like ambient style music. I will give you that. Sometimes you just need like a meditative thing. But I think the vast majority of us, we want to be taken on a little bit of an A to B point. And whether that's the music that's moving you in a direction and you feel like you're in a current, or it's the lyrics, you know, I think you just don't want to feel like you stagnated the whole time.
I agree.
So I agree with you
in
that.
That's interesting. Interesting point. Like, I think the A to B thing makes a lot of sense to me because when I want music the most in my life, it's when some shitty thing is going on. Like I'm in like a fight with my partner, or I'm having like a hard time at work or something. So it's like A to B makes sense. I want to go somewhere else. Like it's an escapism thing. Like I've never felt like more satisfied with art when I listen to music that like gets me out of like whatever funk I'm in. Like that's what emo music is.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And like for me it's never more clear than like if you're on a treadmill or something at the gym, like jogging. You're like you're literally, you know, metaphorically and literally running in place. So you're like, I really want music right now that like gives me an arc to feel like and like if you listen to something and you feel like you're also now double on the treadmill. Like
exactly.
The song is also treadmilly. You're like, man, this is miserable. So skip.
Yeah, exactly.
The next one.
And from the other side of it, that's the dream, right? Like if as a musician, to have somebody like go through some emotional experience with your music.
Yeah, for sure.
I would rather have that once than have 10,000 people just stream it and be like, it's a good song.
Yeah,
I mean that's what it's about. You write a song, it's to get people to relate to it. To, I mean, for me at least, I want to write music that people can relate to and will like. If they're in the middle of their A to B, maybe the song will help them get to that B.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Have you guys got any feedback, either you know, IRL or digitally, thus far?
On our music?
Yeah, I mean, anything that stands out yet? To you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, every time we're about to release something, we send our music to like tons and tons of people to see like technical things.
Yeah.
But recently, because like you want to show your music to people whose like musical opinion like you respect, but I think you also want to show it to people who don't know jack shit about music and they just be like, oh, this is how it feels. Like my mom.
Yeah.
Well, listen to my music and be like, oh, it's great. Or like, you know, I've had people be like, oh, the melody is not that interesting. It's like, oh, that's something to revisit. So yeah, I know I'm huge on feedback type of stuff. But once it's out, oh my God, yeah, man. Like definitely my favorite interactions I've had with fans have been like this song. There was a girl who listened to a song we have. It was the first song we ever released called The Bluff. And she wrote like a bunch of poetry around it because she was like going through some breakup with some guy.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh yeah, no, this is like poetry. It has to do with like your song and all this stuff. And I was like, yo, that's awesome. Like, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
That's like the emotional equivalent of people like going crazy at a show, you know?
Yeah. I love when art, you know, produces more art. Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be doing as a species, man. That's what we're supposed to be making.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to be sitting behind desks doing nothing all the time. We're supposed to be making stuff. That's what we're good at.
Yeah. Another thing, when like we're playing real like live shows, they really like the harder music that we put out.
Yeah. That's true.
Like people just want to rage for like a minute or 3 minutes. And then once they get it out, then they're like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But now it's back to reality.
We just had that experience the other night. The first show of our tour was, where was it?
New Jersey. At the Grotto. Yeah.
Somewhere in New Jersey. Yeah, Glassboro, New Jersey at the Grotto. Awesome venue. Really super nice guys. But we played, like, the way we structured our set for that show, the first part of it was, like, our, like, chiller, we don't have anything that chill. We have, like, a lot of four on the floor, like, dance stuff. It's, like, indie alt rock. But then we just, I don't know why we did that. Why did we do it this way? We put, like, all of our, like, harder songs, like, in a row. we have one that's about, like, drug abuse, like, prescription drug abuse from when I was working at a pharmacy. And Thomas actually, ironically, works at the pharmacy now. And it's, like, a really, like, hardcore, like, but, yeah, it's called RX. It's, like, one of our more popular songs. And we had another, like, all our hard shit, and everyone definitely paid the most attention to our set during that.
Yeah.
I was like, what's with these people? They just want to, they just want to break stuff.
Yeah, we had, like, people upstairs just hanging out, eating food. And once we were started to play our harder stuff, they came downstairs and were, like, in the mosh.
Nice.
Yeah, people get that.
Like, throwing hands, not really throwing hands.
That's when I smashed my when I smashed my face on your guitar, your headstock.
Yep.
Which I have a deck on my face right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, I was headbanging, but it was fun. But, yeah, I love those things. I love that area of music. Like, we're not even a super hardcore band, but... sometimes. Yeah. Gotta get there once in a while.
Yeah. Gotta get people fired up for sure.
Yeah.
If you can. And then it's cool if you get to have some diversity in your set as far as the energy of it all.
Yeah. I found it particularly in the underground. I mean, like, not even necessarily, but and especially in the underground, you can reliably get people to go crazy if you just play some hard stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's good to have a place to get it out. Because I think sometimes, you know, society or people get, I don't know, develop unhealthy habits or whatever, patterns, because they don't have an outlet for it.
Yeah, we're like a censored society, aren't we?
Maybe that.
There's not really a place to go.
But it's like we're also primal, you know, bipedal hominids or whatever. So, like, aggression gets labeled, you know, a certain way. And, like, especially, I think, for men or dudes. And, like, there isn't always, like, a clear-cut place to put that. And that it's, like, there's something wrong with you if you have it in you. And it's, like, maybe. But maybe you just need to go chop down a tree or something. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Notice, like, in a mosh pit or, like, in a hardcore show, the guys that are throwing hands, they're the most respectful guys ever. Like, they'll pick you up if you fall down. If there's a chicken in the crowd, they'll help them to, like, protect them when they're in there. Like, they're not being malicious. They're just trying to get out, like, a normal human emotion. Right.
Yeah, and if
there's no, like, warmer place than a mosh pit sometimes.
Yeah.
I love it.
Weirdly.
It's hard to recreate that. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I think it's just, like, moment to moment. Like, those shows that you just...
yeah.
Have that.
It's always, I mean, obviously lawyers around the world, but it's always so ridiculous when you see those, like, no moshing signs at certain venues. It's like, all right, well, what else are we here for? Like,
we're just gonna stand here and stare.
We don't pay attention to those.
Yeah,
that was somewhere in Connecticut. Yeah. We shouldn't even say the name of the venue, actually. No, think about it. But they had a sign. They had a sign on the ceiling. It was like no moshing. And we made a video of a mosh pit, like, by the sign.
Nice.
And we were like, take that, society.
Yep.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we should get some cool ones going on this tour.
Yeah,
we'll see. We're playing variable bills. We're playing some harder bills and some, like, chiller bills. What's the demographic like in Maryland? You'd be able to tell us more about Baltimore. I literally haven't been to Baltimore. So, like,
what are people like?
What are people interested in?
It does, in my, you know, subjective experience, it does seem like harder music does well in Baltimore, whether it's metal or punk. although I always kind of associate Philly as being more punk than they are metal, and Baltimore is more metal than they are punk. But I could be off base with that. It's just the bands that I like and who I've seen and shows and whatnot. So, you know, depends on the night, depends on the crowd, but seems like, you know, aggressive music is usually pretty at least normal around here. But you know, there's a good mix of genres and all kinds of stuff going on. So
it seems like our kind of scene, man.
Yeah,
I can get behind that.
Yeah. So I actually haven't played Undercroft or really even seen anyone else pop up playing it, so I don't have a lot of things to go off there. But you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm guessing you guys can fit in with just about any bill, given that you have like a heavy side as well as a pretty poppy side.
Yeah, there's some bills that are like, we fit on this, but we're not having as much fun as we could. Like, we don't do a lot with like jam bands. That's about it.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against jam music. It's just like, you know, a well-practiced alt rock set of pretty much all originals, and then we'll do like one cover or something per hour.
Yeah.
Until you have, like, it takes years to get really good material, in my experience, that fills 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I know. So just logistically, it's like you're going to want to go play with some band that's going to play like 3 hours and they play one song. I love going to those shows. I love jam shows. It's just, yeah, it doesn't always make the best experience for the audience. And I started taking that a lot more seriously, like your band. Like, I like listened to it and I was like, yeah, this is like a 90s thing. This is like I think you call your guys modern 90s, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they like vibes with it.
Yeah.
That's what our producer's into.
Mostly. Yeah, I mean, I can't really help it. At a certain point, it's what I grew up on. And if I write a song, it's probably going to sound like Sum 41 or something. I don't know. Or at least.
You could do a lot worse than Sum 41. As someone would sound like.
I love Sum 41.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. That's kind of just fall into what you grew up on a little bit, or fall back on, but then try to push it from there.
Yeah, it's an interesting point too. What do people write like? Like, where does people's writing styles come from? I feel like you write from like, read a lot of like similar to like Microwave, Bad Flower kind of things, like emo music, but your instrumentation is different than my instrumentation.
Yeah, I'm more like,
and your lyrics are way different.
I do take more inspiration from what I found, because I grew up on 90s rock, like classic rock, like Boston Eagles, stuff like that. My dad listened to it, but like when I was younger, I found Linkin Park, and then it just went downhill from there. So now I'm into like Can't Swim, Microwave, Bad Flower, Dead Post Society. Yep. And they're a lot more emotion driven in their lyrics, so it's for not sure.
That first Microwave album was awesome. Maybe it was the first one, I think.
They did like a split album, and then they did their first solo album, Much Love, and that one's one of my favorites.
Yeah. There's one of them that I definitely listened to back to front, like all day long.
Stovall, maybe?
That's the one.
First. Stovall, yeah.
Stovall, that's the one.
I said Much Love because I love
that album.
Yeah,
I love how he's just essentially writing about getting a girl pregnant and then living behind the Dunkin' Donuts in a van. It's
exactly.
Like, oh my god, me and my fiance were listening to that the other day. at the end of I should have got you pregnant, and he's like yelling college in the back. He's going college. Like, is he just yelling the word college?
Yeah, pretty much.
We love that van.
That's how I feel.
That's the struggle, man. Should have gotten better grades in high school or whatever.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that band means a lot to me too. I knew like a bit about that album when the Thomas got me super, super into him. I was like, wow, this is like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, and I like how, you know, certain bands can still write an album too that kind of takes you from place to place and kind of has a underlying story.
Rare.
Yeah, it's definitely getting to be a lost art, for better or worse. I mean, I guess for worse, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a reality, too.
I was talking to somebody recently, and he was asking me, like, do you think all the topics have already been sung about? Like, is there anything else to sing about, or is it just, like, remixes of something else that somebody already sang?
It's always been and always will be a remix. You know, it's exactly. I think that the better way I've heard it described is it's always a conversation. Music is always a call and response conversation that just never ends. Someone makes something, calls something out, and then someone offers a response. And there's been literal examples of artists doing that when someone hears an album they love and then goes and makes their own, or it's just subconscious.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a, it'll always be original too, because like, I think whatever generation you were born into and whatever like struggles throughout your lifetime that's going on in society kind of define your formative years will shape the music you're trying to make. Like maybe the reason there's so much like hard music right now, it's like here, I would say over the last few years, because I've probably been going to, like music like continuously and always for like the last 8 years probably. In the last 2 years, I think it's kind of kicked off like more and more as far as like the more aggressive music getting more and more popular. In the 90s there was like a crazy thing for the hardcore scene, and now it's backing up again. So it seems like when people are pissed off about stuff, there's like a surge in people going to shows, which makes bands like be like, oh, we can do this more often. We can allocate more resources to this, and the music gets even better.
I
think it's a call and response. There's like an ecology to music.
Oh yeah,
I know people are like screwed up. Yeah, I kind of like that about it.
Yeah, I guess from my angle, I feel like music's gotten softer, for sure. At least in the popular world.
Yes. Oh yeah, I don't listen to the popular stuff, but yeah, no, you're right. It gets like dancey. It gets all EDM and 808s.
Definitely that. And then like the local radio station around here, I feel like is like, I don't know, it's indie rock, but it's definitely like on the softer side of indie rock, you know? So it is what it is. I mean, it's also just one radio station, but it's the only one that plays like something that isn't the Foo Fighters or, you know, the Doobie Brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll try to listen to that and see like what's going on, but yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's as many bands with an edge, which makes the ones with an edge stand out more. So.
That is true. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think people just want softer stuff right now.
Yeah.
Depending on the area.
I blame the benzos. I think that's my thought.
Yeah,
I like that.
Things are overprescribed, man, so we should write a song about it. We did. I'm just kidding.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a, I don't know, art will always fit whatever bad thing is going on in society. Really hard to make happy music. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Everybody likes writing sad songs, but
it's so much easier, man.
Yeah.
It's so much more natural than me. Like, I'm like a pretty happy person generally, but God, like, I try to make like a, like, here, I don't find it so challenging to make like an inspiring song, like a positive outlook on like a struggling, like painful existence.
Yeah.
But man, just making like a happy song. Oh, good luck.
Yeah. That's what psilocybin's for.
Yeah. There you go.
I like to understand a band by their drugs is how I look at it.
Yeah. But then you might start writing things like desperation is the English way.
That would be, probably just regular old whiskey and cigarettes and coffee or something. I don't know. But
I don't know. I heard they did some serious stuff.
Well, yeah, Syd Barrett got...
Syd Barrett got toasted.
Yeah, he definitely fried his brain on acid or whatever.
Yeah, so, do you like that early stuff? Because, like, man, unpopular opinion, I don't think the stuff with Syd Barrett is nearly as good as, like, because you know how hardcore Pink Floyd songs would be like, oh yeah, we love Syd Barrett, see Emily play, and that type of music. It's like, man, it didn't get beautiful until he was gone, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard anything with him on it, so I can't really say.
Oh, check it out. You'll hate it. I'm just kidding. Maybe you'll like it, but yeah. Like it's really weird.
I mean, whatever they did on Dark Side of the Moon worked, so I don't know if he was, I don't think he was involved with that, I guess. He might have been.
Yeah, it was all Gilmore and Waters.
But I think for him, or in that setting, he was, like, Barrett was, like, the muse. Like, because I think they were writing a lot about him and kind of, like, using him as, like a springboard inspirationally. So, in, like, a roundabout way, I feel like he can kind of get credit, you know, in a sense.
Yeah, his suffering is what it was about, particularly with Wish You Were Here, you know?
Yeah. And, like, yeah. If you've ever seen or heard of Daniel Johnston.
Yeah.
Which, there's actually a great documentary on him out, like a movie one. But I feel like he is, like, the encapsulation of what every artist is if they were truly naked, you know? But he just couldn't help it because he was schizophrenic. But I feel like that's like he was like Syd Barrett was their Daniel Johnston. You know what I mean? Is what I would imagine. If I don't know.
Yeah, he was like a super tragic case. The but also I imagine if like Pink Floyd had kept Syd Barrett and like he survived because he went like off the deep end pretty far before he was dead. But if they kept him, I wonder if he would be like missing all kinds of awesome Pink Floyd stuff.
Yeah, no, probably. He probably would have fucked everything up. Yeah.
And then all the, I was trying to find a nice way to say it, but yeah. And then all the other bands that were inspired by Pink Floyd, like half the guitarists I meet are like, who's your favorite guitarist? Like, oh, it's Gilmore, obviously.
Yeah, no, he couldn't serve music like on a practical level, but you know, just being like kind of there as a mechanism for songwriting. It's like, I don't know. Who knows? I wasn't there. So I'm speculating. But
yeah. Pink Floyd's a big inspiration for me too. I mean my dad loves Pink Floyd. Like it was his favorite band.
Yeah.
For forever.
Yeah, it's cool. As you can see, I call this the poor man's Zoom. We're about to get the boot. But if you wanted to send me a Zoom link, we could riff here for a little bit longer and wind it down and just split it up into like a first, second half type of conversation.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, Zoom is trash. All right, we'll do it right now.
Yeah, I could pay for it, but I'm just, you know.
I don't blame you.
We don't either.
I'm stubborn, bitter, whatever. You know? All right, I'll see you.
All right, one second. Yeah, we got a lot going on, dude. Got so much. We're touring, we're making music, we're meeting cool bands along the road.
Got that launch show coming up, too.
We're doing a launch music festival. That'll be awesome.
In Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yep. Right on. Yeah, I've been meaning to go up to that for a while. I just keep forgetting about it.
Yeah, it's a... The dude who masters our stuff, Alan Dutchess, is there. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Yeah, we got some friends we should be able to see, and I'm excited for it. You know what I'm figuring out right now in real time, like over the last few days, and some of like the last minute changes to some of the shows people drop out, is how different scenes are across America.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'd think like an alt-rock scene is an alt-rock scene. It's not really like that.
Yeah,
like some are so cool, and some like here, some are more difficult than others, and more competitive and stuff.
Yeah,
man, I gotta say, like your Baltimore area, people have been so dope to us the entire time we've been doing this.
That's cool. I mean, it seems pretty good around here. But yeah, I'm also dipping my toes into the water of playing around town, around the East Coast, and you know, Texas and stuff like that, and like just kind of
Texas
or Austin or whatever. And just figuring out different scenes. And yeah, I think it is important for all of us as bands to just go visit different places, just especially talk to other bands around and yeah, see different scenes, because I think you can get trapped pretty easily by your own scene without ever knowing it, you know?
Yeah. Here, it's important about the local following. You should be able to draw on your own hometown, absolutely. But like, why, like, if you play the same market over and over again, it's like, oh, these people have heard you, and you kind of need to reach new people. So I'm a huge proponent of like touring. Like, you got your local thing, get to the next stage. You should come to New York. We'll host you. I'll get you a gig. It'll be fun.
That'd be awesome. So far, we've only made it to Rockwood, and then we played a bar in Brooklyn once. I'm trying to remember what it was called, but it's like near the Brooklyn Bowl, but it wasn't the Brooklyn Bowl.
Okay, we're in Brooklyn on Tuesday.
This Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, Bushwick Public
Bushwick,
House. Yeah, and then I think we're probably going back to Brooklyn in May. But yeah, the New York City's cool. New York City's kind of, I don't want to say oversaturated, but there's so many bands in New York City, bro. Like, a lot of good ones, but.
I feel like it would be impossible to try to nail down what New York City's music scene is compared to some other
Yeah, there's just so many
places,
people, man.
because it's
There's
just,
like
I
8 million
think it,
people there.
yeah, it's like every kind of music, really. So like, I don't know, but
I almost mean like the community. Like, I think that's a super interesting aspect because that's the day to day of what we do, isn't it? Like, it's going to be like your social life. Like, in Albany, people are pretty cool. The underground has suffered lately because like we had a college close that was kind of supporting the underground scene. But there's still some really good venues up here, commercial venues. And yeah, I would say that like it just changes so heavily. Like people south of you in like Virginia area have been so amazing. People are like, oh, crash on my couch, man. Like, and we're like, yeah, are you kidding me? These people like southern hospitality and music is a real thing, it turns out. That's something. Yeah, I would love to show you up here sometime.
Yeah, no.
You'd probably like it.
Definitely. We're always interested. I think it's cool too, just for your own musical whatever, your sound or whatever too, not to get kind of like stuck in, if you're in a genre and you're in a certain city, like you're kind of destined to get stuck in that if you don't get outside of it, is my feeling.
I've noticed that in the DIY here. Like all the
Oh.
DIY bands sound the same, but just a little bit different. Like little differences.
Yeah, because you start to get into like, what are these people like? Here's something our producer says is like, I think pretty wise. I didn't really realize that when he told it to us, but it's true. Your audience will tell you what genre you are,
For
which is
sure.
crazy because you're like, nah, I'll make music whatever I want and I'll find the right people. It's like, not really. I mean, it's like this feedback mechanism where you play music and they either like it or reject it. And you're gonna naturally make more of the music they like. You'll still stay true to yourself and like make music that you think says something like artistically or whatever. But man, it's a lot more fun to play to a room full of people like dancing than it is be like an empty room and there's people at the bar. So yeah, get around and you can probably find the people. Like, say what you will about being in music these days. Everybody has a band, there's so
'Cause
many,
like,
but you can find who you're right for. I really think that.
yeah, for sure. And like, you can debate the merits, I guess, of traveling, too far to go play an empty bar or whatever. But like,
Yeah.
I think that, again, just the cultural immersion is like good for a band, even if you don't have a good show. It's like, I don't know, just something different. 'Cause
Yeah. Yeah.
you could also play an empty bar in your hometown too.
You
But
can. It'd be a lot cheaper to do so, probably.
true. For sure. I don't know
Yeah.
where I'm going with that exactly, but I feel like what you guys are doing is necessary. That's probably all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I agree.
We enjoy it too. And I think the trick is like play with the right bands, advertise the shit out of your shows. Like we got some cool ones coming up for this Undercross show. It's you guys and us, and we're also playing with New Clarity and Makeup Girl.
Oh.
Everybody was like really dope. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to expedite this episode in particular, try to get it out in the airwaves by next week.
For sure. Yeah.
So,
Well, thanks for having us, man. This is a really cool podcast you have. Like I said, I've been wanting to do this for like a while. I was like, that seems like what I think about all the time.
sure.
Somebody made a podcast about it. I was like, no way. Now I know the guy.
Yeah, I'll give you a t-shirt. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
Oh yeah.
I'm flattered that you heard of it. That's cool. That it's starting to kind of get into some circles or something like that.
Yeah, man. I heard about it like months ago.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I've had a few bands from New York, but like you said, it's just like I don't really even have a good vetting process to begin with. So deciding or finding whoever I find in New York City is like, it could be anybody, you know? So.
Yeah. Ironically, I find that everyone I know who does podcasts well is like the chillest ever. They're just like, yeah, we just talk. We just like hang out. Whoever wants to come. Yeah, come on. Whatever. It just seems to work that way. Maybe because the medium itself is like based on being relatable. This is long form content, you know? Like you see interviews on television and they suck because it's an interview. It's just like, I ask you questions and you answer them and we're done. You never get to know anybody. But you talk for 40 minutes. You kind of have to be yourself, don't you?
Yeah, it starts to feel contrived. It's like when you ask at the beginning, like, why I wanted to start one. It's like, well, I don't know. We just don't get to talk to each other in general, I feel like, as bands. So, you know, why not talk to each other like before a show like this? So then it's like, bam, we have like instant camaraderie sort of when the show, especially for out of town shows, I found it's actually pretty damn magical in a way sometimes. It's like you feel like you have like a built in, like, you know, friend family network that's just kind of out of the blue.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, man. We're trying to extend our family / network across like the country right now. Regionally, like here to Virginia. And
yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be super far by any means. But
yeah, you're like 8 hours from us, something like that.
Where are you guys again? In Northern?
We're in Albany, New York right now.
Right. Okay. For some reason, I thought
you were like, in the city. We're like way the fuck upstate New York.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're not far from the city. I mean, 4 hours, right? 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours if you fly there.
Yeah, that's true.
Through all the traffic. Yeah,
here,
traffic,
we're close enough to the city to play there on a Friday, so we can go play somewhere further south on a Saturday, drive back to Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing.
And I assume you guys have your, I don't know, tour van, tour minivan, tour sedan, all ready to go, whatever you're riding.
So we rent a van for like the crazy ones. Like we'll be in a rented van for the one we're playing with you.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to buy a van, man. That's just a dream, but you know.
That is the goal of many of us for sure.
Yeah. We'll fix up a old school bus or something.
Yeah. They don't sell them like they used to. That's for sure.
Yeah. I've seen people do it. That's for sure. It can definitely be done with a lot of determination, but you can definitely get her on the road. I'm probably gonna roll here actually, but I do appreciate you guys hitting me up and topping on and doing a little extra promo for the show next week.
For sure.
Yeah, man, this is fun. I came up for the show. It's gonna be awesome. Cool. New Clarity, Hollow Truths, Makeup Girl, and us, Man Mouse Explorer. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah, I'll make sure I send that or send this over to them as well. Maybe they'll be able to check it out. And I don't know. Should be a good time.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. All right, man. So, thanks for having us.
Yep. Just send me your end of the audio, and also if you want to send me any MP3s or waves or whatever.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely do that.
Cool. Cool. All right. I'll see you Thursday, I think, right?
Thursday.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Undercrofts.
Radical.
Later, man.
All right, later.
All right, catch you.